Hi there. Thank you for joining with me again today. We're going to talk today about restorative community. James is now winding down his letter. And in chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, he says, "My brothers, if any one among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." As I've said, we're now coming to the end of the letter, and unlike most of Paul's letters, there is no doxology, nor are there any final greetings to fellow workers. Instead, there is a passionate plea from the heart of a shepherd to his flock. It would help us to know that the biblical picture of a shepherd is more than a man out in front of the flock. It is also a man who is following the flock, taking note of the strugglers and the stragglers. See how David was called from following the flock in 2 Samuel 7 verse 8 and Psalm 78 verse 71. And so here we are looking at a circular and varied movement of a true shepherd. He leads with direction, ensuring and encouraging. He nurtures and feeds and checks up on those who are struggling. Throughout the centuries, people have wandered from the faith. And scripture is full of sad examples of this. It's not something new. People, having seen at first hand the miraculous power of God, have wandered away. Signs and wonders may provoke faith, but they do not sustain faith. Truth does that. The word wanders is planeo, and the ESV has it perfectly in saying wanders. It also means to be misled or to stray off the path. It carries the idea of thoughtless slippage rather than open rebellion. And I want to suggest that there is a three-stage slippage away from God. Firstly, there's a slippage of the mind, where our grip on the truth is relaxed. We have to realize that truth is important. It is imperative that we believe the right things. Many have a weak grip because they have very little knowledge of the truths of Scripture, and they are easily tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, as Paul would write in Ephesians 4, verse 14. Secondly, there is a slippage of life, where our walk is affected. Truth is designed to affect our way of life. Truth is to be practiced. Truth accords with godliness. That's what Paul said to Timothy in his first letter to him, chapter 6, verse 3. And where truth does not have sway, then our walk will be adversely affected. If we don't think right, then we will start to walk wrongly. Finally, there is a slippage from our destiny in God. I do not believe that James is talking about the loss of salvation here, but he is talking about a loss of a God-given destiny. In a nutshell, we can arrive in heaven with a wasted life. James says that if anyone is seen in spiritual slippage, then someone ought to bring him back. The word someone is deliberately indefinite, pointing to the fact that it's not just the responsibility of the leader or the leaders, but it is the responsibility of whoever notices. You see, there is a corporate community responsibility here. To rescue a soul from death is to rescue and preserve someone's spiritual destiny. There are too many whose testimony is, I could have been this or I could have been that. To have a multitude of sins covered, therefore, is to realize that however far we have fallen, we can return to an environment of compassion and full forgiveness. Love always covers a multitude of sins, and such is our God. The thought for the day is this. There is an old hymn written by a 22-year-old that contains these words. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Out of a sense of personal fragility comes the best help for those who are struggling. So we pray, in these days, O Lord, keep me from slippage in any way whatsoever. Amen. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow we will finish off this wonderful, powerful little letter by looking at James's concluding remarks. Thank you for listening. You take care out there.